Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 141 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man replacing Marjorie Taylor Greene on the House Education and Labor Committee, Brian. Brian, how are you tonight, my friend?
Not good. Not good this week, Ron.
Why is that? Talk to me, my friend.
How do I say this? I have not taken a dump since Sunday night.
This past Sunday. So you're going on 5 days now.
Yep.
Now, without evacuating your nether regions.
Nope.
That? Nope. Have you seen a doctor, called a doctor, had a telehealth checkup, any kind of thing like that?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to drink some whiskey tonight. And based on the history that I've experienced, I believe tomorrow, while I would say probably sometime between the 9 and 10 o'clock hour in the morning, I will be literally shitting myself, blowing up that bathroom. I don't know what. I've been eating vegetables. I've been
getting your rough.
I've not changed my diet in any way. However, there's been a couple times over the past 48 hours where I felt the pressure of, oh, this is going to happen, and then it goes away.
So even coffee hasn't done the trick.
No, wow. Drinking coffee every morning.
That is impressive. Can I tell you something?
I don't know what my colon's like right now. Not happy about it.
Trivia. I'm almost 50 years old. Have never been constipated. I know.
How? What do you mean? What do you mean you've never been constipated?
This has never been an issue. I've never had an issue like that.
What is the longest period of time that you can remember that you have gone in between taking a dump?
I mean, maybe a day at most.
What?
At most.
Sensei Ron, it's just tell me. Divulge your secrets. If you have to like start doing this with the little bopper that goes both ways, teach me the crane kick.
There's a lot of butter and fat in my diet. And I think really that just helps grease the runway.
Really? So you're saying if I were to eat worse, that would help?
Possibly. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. You know what? Do I try? Like, what do I do?
I don't know. I think it's a gradual change in your diet. I mean, go the whiskey route first. See if it does.
I'm going to try that.
And then,
At what point do I start excavating?
I mean, that's a personal question to ask. And I would think after tomorrow, if the whiskey doesn't do it, you may need to reach up there and see if you can do it yourself.
All right. I'll give that a shot. I think some things need to be sped up in terms of bodily processes.
Yes. But in the meantime, so you can have that whiskey, let's get into Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week. Slasher.
Who's drink of the week? Drink of the week.
And drink just real quick, Billy has a good point. Maybe my cooking oils are the secret. So maybe mix in some of the avocado oil, some of the grapeseed oil. That potentially could help you stay a little bit more regular than you are at the moment.
Sesame oil?
Yeah, a little sesame oil. Dark sesame I cook with usually. But yeah. Anyway, what are you drinking this week, Brian?
Now, when you say that you may use dark sesame, is that because you stand with BLM or no?
It's just, you know, it's a more complex flavor profile, Brian. Come on.
All right. Okay, you know what? I'm going to let you go first this week, Ron. You tell me what you're drinking.
All right. Well, I would like to give a shout out to Chase's Hop Shop in Philadelphia. Ran a little bit of a contest this past week, and I was able to get set up with a free 12-pack of Workhouse Brewing beer based out of based out of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. So I decided this week to pull one of those. This is a little something called Start It Up. It is a Philadelphia collaboration between Workhouse Brewing and Saxby's Coffee. This is a coffee vanilla porter, And let's see, it's clocking in. For a porter, it's not too bad. It's clocking in at a 5.5%. Let's give it a sip here and see what happens.
Oh, that's a nice color, though. That's a nice color. What do we think?
That's good. It's nice. Wow, that is good.
Walk me through the flavors. What are you tasting? What are you smelling?
I'm getting the coffee. I'm getting a little bit of the vanilla. But the best thing is, it's very, very smooth. It doesn't have like that bitterness that you get from a porter at times. So I'm giving that a solid thumbs up.
Thumbs up? Okay. Yes. Well, for this week, I'm going with 18th Ward out of Brooklyn, New York. They've got something that they're calling Reba's Creation. You're going to say, what is Reba's Creation? Well, I'm going to tell you this. It's a modern spin on a German classic. It's brewed with Amber Keller beer, it's an unfiltered lager, but it's kept cold on masala, chai, tea, and vanilla. The result, it's a flavorful lager, heavy notes of chai, black tea, caramel, a prolonged undertone of vanilla and spice with a clean and crisp finish. This is coming in at a 5.0. 18th Ward, Reba's Creation. I'm going to try it.
All right, give it a sip. Let me know what you think of it. It does sound very good.
Don't really taste the chai.
Okay.
Don't really taste the black tea.
I mean, is it good overall what you're tasting?
The caramel's getting lost on me. I'm also halfway done with the beer. It's enjoyable. They're referencing a lot of flavors that I'm not picking up. Would I drink a six pack of this? Absolutely. I'm enjoying it.
All right. Very nice. Very nice.
And also,
sorry,
Jameson cold brew to kind of plunge that shit out of my rectum.
So you're getting the coffee and the whiskey, nursing that. You're nursing that whiskey back to life. Just a little baby.
I like to drag it, just like the time between my defecation. So I like to drag out a shot of whiskey.
I understand. And listen, I respect however you want to drink your drink. I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to try
that. I appreciate that, sir.
All right. In the meantime, let's move on over to This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
Oh, Brian, so much racism.
No,
this week.
No.
Couple pages.
You told me this week, you said, I believe there will be no racism in America this week. And I believed you, Ron. I believed you.
I thought there was healing going on, and clearly there was not. So let's get right into this. Two CBS executives have been suspended and are under investigation for racist and sexist behavior after an extensive report about their alleged longstanding discriminatory conduct was published in the LA Times. According to the Times, Peter Dunn and David Friend have both been placed on administrative leave as the company investigates accusations of discrimination against Black and female journalists when it comes to hiring, retention, and fair treatment. They have been accused of being hostile, racist, and crude, according to legal papers viewed by the Times. The report cites numerous examples, including Dunn referring to Philadelphia station KYW lead anchor Yuki Washington, who is a Black Philadelphia native, as, quote, just a jive guy. Dunn also said of Washington, quote, all he does is dancing. Former KYW general manager Brian Kennedy told the Times. Other Black KYW employees who declined to be named for fear of retaliation bolstered claims about the duo's racist and sexist behavior to the Times. A Black sailor aboard a Navy warship found a noose on his bed last week as the ship was stationed in San Diego. Another sailor on the guided missile cruiser USS Lake Champlain, who claimed to have left the noose as a joke, has been removed from the ship as investigators look into the incident. The San Diego Tribune reported Navy officials confirmed the probe in a statement to the newspaper saying the Navy takes all allegations of sailor misconduct and racial discrimination seriously due to the ongoing investigation. We will not provide further comment. Brian, you look like you have further comment teed up.
What the fuck? Like, I'm not asking you to put yourself into the mind of the person that's leaving nooses around. But where is the where's the humor? Where is the thought of, haha, this is going to be funny.
Right.
He's going to chuckle.
I don't have an answer for you there. I've got nothing. It's not funny. So
it's one thing if you sit there and go, I am filled with hate. I'm filled with rage. And I want to say things to people of different ethnicities because I want them to feel bad about themselves. I don't condone it, but I understand it. But to sit there and leave a noose on a black guy's bed and be like, really? You didn't think that was funny? Not even the, like, I don't get it.
Well, it just gets worse, Brian. We're going to Ackworth, Georgia. Police are investigating who is behind racist letters mailed to residents in the Abernathy Farms neighborhood. Quote, we want this neighborhood just for white people. Out Hispanics, out blacks, out Asians. The six-line note reads, the letters were delivered in white envelopes, some with names of residents on, some without. In June, the city of Ackworth formally took a stance against racism and discrimination in its jurisdiction. The resolution, according to its website, states racism, prejudice, and hate have no place in the city, and it encourages an inclusive community built on trust and dedication to stand up against all forms of racism. Obviously, that got some white person's undies all in a bunch. Staying in
What are the odds he's wearing tidy whities?
Pretty big. Staying in Georgia, in Hamilton, Georgia, Hamilton Police Chief Gene Almond resigned and Patrolman John Brooks was fired after body cam footage was unearthed by a city employee showing the two men defending slavery and using racial slurs. The video, taken in June 2020, appears to capture the uniformed men standing outside the police department and talking about a Black Lives Matter march scheduled to be in Hamilton later that day. Quote, I don't own no slaves. My folks didn't own no slaves. What are we talking about? 200 fucking years ago? One of the men says in the video, quote, I'm sure there were a lot of them mistreated. I don't have no doubt about that, the man says at another point. But for the most part, it seems to me like they furnished them a house to live in. They furnished them clothes to put on their back. They furnished them food to put on their table. And all they had to do was fucking work. And now we give them all those things and don't have to fucking work. End quote.
At another wow.
Another point, the two men, using a racial slur, discussed who they would rather have sex with, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms or voting rights activist Stacey Abrams. A couple of horrible men right there, but they're both out of work, thankfully. Going to Oberlin, Louisiana, a Southwest Louisiana cemetery refused to accept the remains of a recently deceased Black man, citing Jim Crow era bylaws that prohibited such exclusions. Allen Parish Sheriff's Deputy Darren Semyon, 55, died after a brief battle with bladder cancer, and he had hoped to be buried close to his home in Oberlin. When his loved ones approached Oakland Spring Baptist Cemetery, they were told by a representative that the graveyard was for whites only. Deputy Semyon's widow, Carla, said the exact words used by the cemetery employee were, quote, there's no coloreds allowed. Craig Vincenza, president of the Oakland Springs Cemetery Association, confirmed such language existed and that the standard contract for Oakland Springs allows for only the burial of, quote, white human beings. The cemetery's board has since changed its bylaws. You would think they would have done that prior to 2021, but there you have
and,
it. Louisiana. In Pennsylvania, dozens of white supremacists and Nazis allegedly hijacked an online meeting held by Penn State University's Black Caucus, targeting participants with racial and homophobic slurs while exposing themselves. The student organization said that its meeting during the university's virtual spring involvement fair was taken over by 51 unwanted users that ambushed the event and targeted three executive board members. The chat was filled with anti-Semitic and white supremacist language and symbols. Some users had swastikas set as their virtual backgrounds, while others yelled, Black lives don't matter. And one man pulled his pants down and mooned the caucus. The attack was reported to university officials who are investigating the incident.
Now, will they be holding an investigation to identify the man's buttocks like they did in the original Grease?
Possibly. We'll have to follow up and see what happens there. Okay. This is Sun Prairie, Wisconsin.
There's more? There's more?
We're on page two now. And this is, so I believe this is the third Black History Month that this podcast has been in existence,
if
I'm doing the math right. And each and every Black History Month, you know, we have a simple message for the teachers out there, because every year there are teachers that get in trouble for making their students role play as slaves. And we say every year,
Don't do it.
Just be common sense. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
In Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, several teachers have been suspended after having middle schoolers determine punishments for slaves for an assignment given at the start of Black History Month. The history lesson asked sixth graders at Patrick Marsh Middle School how they'd penalize a slave who had, quote, disrespected his master by telling him, "You are not my master." It aimed to illustrate the politics of ancient Mesopotamia by having the students apply an ancient law called Hammurabi's Code to various situations. The schoolwork said such a disobedient servant would be executed. Parents were upset by the assignment, and school representatives eventually apologized for the project. The school district announced that the teachers involved were placed on administrative leave while they continued to investigate the incident. And then we also have country singer Morgan Wallen, who went viral this week due to a leaked video showing him using a racial slur. In the video obtained by TMZ, Wallen is seen walking to his Nashville home and telling someone to, quote, "take care of this pussy ass motherfucker," and then "take care of this pussy ass N-word." He later issued a statement apologizing for his use of the word, promising to try and be better. However, country stars Maren Morris and Mickey Guyton spoke out against Wallen, claiming it was not his first time using the racial slur. Wallen's label, Big Loud Records, suspended him indefinitely. iHeartRadio, Cumulus Media, and CMT removed his songs from their airwaves, and the Academy of Country Music said that they would halt his involvement and eligibility at this year's awards show. The Nashville chapter of the NAACP has reached out to offer Wallen a chance to educate himself about the magnitude of his actions. Wallen also made the news last October when he was uninvited from performing on Saturday Night Live after he ignored COVID-19 safety measures to attend a crowded party in Alabama where he kissed several strangers. Maybe a guy who doesn't make the best decisions in life. Is that what you're about?
Well, clearly not. Clearly not. But I was gonna say that I gave him a pass on the COVID.
Okay.
I gave him a pass on going to Alabama student bars so he can make out with co-eds. Sure. Because if you've watched any of those Alabama college football games, when they pan across the audience, you know, Ron, I wish I was 19 all over again.
There's some smoke shows.
So I could stand across the room and just stare creepily.
Roll Tide. All right. We also have, to wrap things up here, we've got a racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
All right. And this is in Columbus, Ohio. We had talked back in December about the shooting death of 47-year-old Andre Hill. Well, the police officer involved has been charged with murder in that death. Former Columbus police officer Adam Coy had been responding to a non-emergency call when he encountered Hill coming out of a residential garage holding a cell phone in his hand. Within seconds, Coy had fired his weapon, fatally wounding Hill. Two other Columbus officers then rolled Hill over and handcuffed him. None of the officers present offered any first aid. In addition to the murder charge, Coy was charged with failure to use his body camera and failure to tell other officers he believed Hill presented a danger. Coy's indictment comes just days after Columbus Police Chief Thomas Quinlan was forced out after Mayor Andrew Ginther said he lost confidence in his ability to make necessary department changes. So at least we get a murder charge in Columbus.
That one was really, disappointing, but that's not even approaching it. It's there was no reason why that man was shot.
I mean, considering that he, within 10 seconds, encountered the individual and shot and killed him. And that the fact that even after the shooting, no one attempted to administer first aid.
Yeah, that was bad.
So,
am I getting echo again?
I'm not hearing echo. I don't know if anyone...
I'm hearing echo.
Are you hearing echo?
Chat group, are you hearing echo on me?
Well, we'll see. Bother. In the meantime, let's echo. Get ready to do a little Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
one can only assume Brian's beef will either be his computer or his internet connection, saying he is having some multiple echo issues here tonight, but he is coming back in. Let's bring him back into the room. Welcome back yet again, Brian. Brian, educate us on what your beef is this week.
This is what we call beef of the week. Rewind. Apple, where is my fucking iPad?
Wait, you still don't have the iPad?
It hasn't even shipped yet.
Wow.
I bought it on January 23rd. We are filming this on April 4th. Now, clearly, this is first world problems. This is white privilege. I absolutely understand. Trash me. Just trash me if you need to. But I fucking bought an iPad. What is this now? 2.5 weeks ago?
It's been a while.
I've already made... I will say this. Thanks to... Remember we signed up for the Apple credit card?
Yes, I do remember that.
With the Apple credit card, you can actually pay off your Apple purchases in installments interest-free.
That is correct.
So I've already made...
They're not shipping your product.
Those bastards. So, yeah.
A valid question from Janelle. Did you call Apple yet about your shipment?
I can't even go to the bathroom. You think I have my life together enough that I'm going to be calling Apple? No, I have not called Apple. I will probably send an email tomorrow.
Okay. That's fair.
But it's, you know, even, you know what? Had I at least gotten a some type of notification to say, hey, we're further behind than we thought we were. You know, we expect it to go, nothing. Just processing is literally all I'm getting from them.
There you go. I feel your pain, my friend.
Ron, what's bugging you?
My beef this week is with Warby Parker, the glasses company, which I'm a little hurt that you did not mention my new glasses. You spend many hours staring longingly into my eyes. So it's a,
can you get closer to the screen? I like them.
Well, thank you. So anyway, order my glasses online from Warby Parker. So they ship from Sloatsburg, New York. And I, you know, their email, their little shipping tracker says, you're going to have these on January 30th. And like in January, on January 28th, they're in Jersey City, New Jersey. So I'm like, of course I'm going to have these by January 30th. They're only, you know, 100 miles away. So then I check on January 30th. Would you like to know where my glasses were at that point, Brian?
I'm going to guess Florida.
Ybor City, Florida.
Do you know where Ybor City is?
It is outside of Miami, I believe. I've been to Ybor City.
It is technically, isn't Ybor City the sister city to Tampa?
Tampa, correct. Yes. When I was there for a Tampa conference, I went to Ybor City. Went to a nice little.
When the Tampa Lightning won the NHL Heisman Award, what do they call that thing? Stanley Cup. Yeah, when they won the Stanley Cup in 2007, I happened to have been in Tampa at the time, and we rioted, burned some cars down, smashed some windows.
So anyway, and some. My glasses were in Ybor City. Supposed to be. And meantime, Warby Parker is still like, you're going to get these on January 30th. So I'm like, hey, Warby Parker, how are these going to get from Ybor City, Florida to Pennsylvania?
Fair.
They're like, well, we can track them for you. I don't need them tracked. I already know they're in Florida. So the next day it updates and it says you're going to get them between February 1st and 3rd. So I'm like, oh, great. And then they give you the chance to click through to the post office website. And the post office is like, we're not even giving you a date. Like, we're not confident. Yeah. We know where your glasses are, but we're not. So clearly, Warby Parker has control over when they're going to tell you that you're supposed to get this shit. The post office who has them is like, we're not telling you anything. And then the bastards at Warby Parker have the nerve, the warbdacity, if you will, to send me an email on February 2nd saying, hey, you've got new glasses. How are they?
Oh, no.
You fuckers can't even give me my glasses, and you're going to email me asking me how they are. And they didn't come by the 3rd. They came today, the 4th, finally. But here's the thing. Like, I get that, you know, shipping is fucked up, and the post office is doing the best they can. But own up to the fact that if you have a system that you're updating yourself, don't promise people shit. Don't be like Apple and promise people shit that you're not going to deliver on time.
Now, let me ask you a question. As somebody who wore glasses prior to my second coming, surgery. I'd like to say that I healed myself.
Sorry, my bad.
But now, what is the fit of these glasses when they come in? Because what I remember is when I would get new frames, there would have to be lots of adjustments here and here for it to be level, because maybe I slightly, maybe one ear is slightly higher up than the other.
Well, these are a little, they're actually pretty good. I think the reason for that is I have been to the Warby Parker store in Philadelphia to get my last pair of glasses like a year ago. So they still have all of those measurements that they took in the store in their system. So when I reordered, which is part of the reason I ordered from them, is they had my prescription. They had all of the details there. They actually will ship you like up to 5 frames to your house for free to try on and see how you like them. And then you can just order whatever you want. So yeah, so I mean, they're fine. Feel comfortable. I like the way I look. But I'm just
upset. You do look good. Listen, I'm not saying this just to make you feel good.
No,
you do look good in them.
Thank you, my friend.
However, I'm also going to say that you would look good without them.
One of these days, I may do the LASIK myself. I've only had to wear glasses for a few years, but maybe we'll see.
I wore them since I think I was in the 4th grade when I started wearing them. I couldn't wait to get rid of them.
See, it's only been a few years for me. It's probably 3 or 4 years now that I'm wearing glasses. I used to have better than perfect vision, Brian. That's what pisses me off. I had 20/20 in one eye and 20/15 in another eye.
What happened?
Age is a bitch, Brian. You know that more than anybody else. Age is a bitch.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons why my colon's impacted.
I'm a month away from having to get a colonoscopy for the first time. I got too much going on in my life.
Are you going to do it?
I mean, you got to do it.
Okay. Now.
And you don't have to do
for,
it.
For the podcast, would your doctor let me in the room? This fucking COVID pandemic, they're not going to let me in.
No, unfortunately.
But like, could you ask and say that, okay, does your doctor know you're married?
Well, first of all, I need to get a doctor because it has been a number of years since I've been to the doctor and my doctor appears to have retired. So I need to find a new doctor.
Work with me here, Ron, because I think I'm onto an idea.
Okay.
You and I are gay lovers.
Okay.
You are nervous about this. I want to document the whole procedure for our YouTube channel. So you ask your doctor if I can go into the room with you and live videotape your prostate exam.
I mean, this is Philly. So I have to think there'd be a doctor that'd be okay with that.
Can you find it? Because I mean, if it will make you feel better, I will do the same here in New York and invite you up here to come in and watch me get my prostate checked, or as I like to call it, Saturday night.
Getting the oil topped off.
Ooh. It's really not that bad. I've had it done several times. The first time, not okay. It was bad. I think we've spoken about this before in the podcast.
Yep.
When I whined, I was like, please stop. Yeah. However, I've had it done, I think, twice medically, and I will say, I've had it done twice medically, not as bad. Once you know it's happening and you're just like, you relax, they're in there before you know it, they turn it around a little bit, and then they're like, all done. All right. Yeah, so, there's a little splatter on the wall behind them,
right?
But you know they've got staff to clean that up in between visits. It's hygienic.
What creates more discomfort for you, the colonoscopy or dropping $900 at a strip club and not getting like even hand release?
Okay, see, this is the thing. In the moment, the $900 strip club is a great time. The shame the following morning and the regret is worse. So like if you were to ask me while I'm at the strip club, I'm going to say, oh, the finger in the ass is way worse. The next day, absolutely it is the $900 strip club. Now, if there's only some way that we can combine the two such that I'm getting a finger in my ass while at the strip club spending $900, I think best of both worlds.
I think you go to Montreal, and I think you get what – I think you get exactly that in those Montreal strip clubs.
From what I've heard that Montreal strip clubs are pretty wild. I've never been, so I wouldn't know.
I mean, might need to make a podcast trip. We can't go to Canada, though, unfortunately. The borders are still closed, so maybe
they won't
that might be a 2022 thing.
Okay. They won't even let Americans in Canada. Do you know how insulting that is? And we deserve it. We absolutely deserve it. I'm not even upset about it.
Fair enough. So normally we would have our NFL lock Super Bowl edition, but we're going to take this one step higher this year. We're going to make this a little contest. We've done some prop bets in the past. We have, I think, 25 prop bets that people can bet on.
Yes.
Pretty basic stuff from the line on the game, over under, right down to, you know, who's going to kick the longest punt, everything else. But we are going to do this. Probably should do it as like a Google form so people can't
see
other people's answers. But we can do that like we did the Def Pool. We're going to put that on our social media. Probably I would say by tomorrow night, let's say, because it's Friday. Obviously, we need to get this turned around relatively quickly.
Ron?
Yes.
What are you doing tomorrow that's going to make you so busy that you can't put it up on social media tomorrow morning after your first cup of coffee?
If you remember, I'm actually employed now, lest we forget.
There is a difference between being employed and working.
Fair enough. Well, we will get this up. So we are going to put this up as 25 prop bets. No cost to enter, but the winner gets $50. 50 bucks right out of the pockets of Ron and Brian. So keep an eye on Facebook, on Twitter, on what's that other one? Instagram.
Instagram.
As always, you can go to Ron
TikTok
and and see
Twitch.
All the links to our social media. And
Parler,
enter, have some fun. Big game this Sunday, Brian. Just real quick, Brian.
Discord.
I know we're not talking too much about it, but right now, Chiefs favored by 3. Who do you like in the game?
I'm going to tell you something. I am conflicted. Okay. I think that the Chiefs are the better team over the course of the season. I feel like Tampa Bay is the hotter team at this point. And I also, having watched closely the playoffs, I will say that Tom Brady in a Super Bowl getting points, I think that's a pretty good bet. I think that's a good bet. I'm okay with that bet.
Okay. Where's that that crazy guy in Houston that owns the furniture store that always places the huge bets on the Super Bowl? He has
placed
a $3.4 million bet on the Bucks plus 3.5.
He lost last year, right?
I think so.
If I remember, I want this guy to lose so badly. I hope he loses.
The thing is, he places millions and millions of dollars of bets. He does like all the prop bets, so he usually ends up ahead, but if he could take a big loss, that would be good. What else do we have here? Oh, let's get into it. I want to play this video because I love this video so much.
Do we want to do stonks first or no?
Are you talking stonks, Brian?
I think it's a new weekly feature.
What's
I think we do it.
That, though?
Weekly feature?
No, before that.
Stonks?
Stonks.
Love that. I love it.
I don't know that I have anything new, but we had talked about previously. What was the one we talked
There's
about?
Hold on a second. There's a lot to talk about over the past week. We watched the implosion of the Reddit meme wars, GameStop, which was, I think, about $300 a week ago. Suddenly has plummeted. I think it's about $80 at the moment. AMC, which had risen to about 16 or 17, I think it's now down to about 8 or 9. What is it? Genius, Genius Brands. Somebody was really hot on that for a while. However, if you were following, I think 2 weeks ago, Ron, you mentioned a stock, Atossa Technology, Therapeutic.
Therapeutic under the stonk code ATOS.
Hype yourself, Stonk Daddy, because you deserve this.
If I can, we had gotten into this stock, I think, at $1.38. They are doing a new breast cancer drug, which apparently was doing very well in testing. So they're actually moving out of trials into phase three testing now. That topped off at $4.90 today. So we made some money on that. This, I think, can go higher. It's we've been seeing some dips. It dipped down to like $4. So ATOS, if you've got some cash, keep an eye on it. If it dips down into that 4-425 range, I'd say get yourself in there. We've cleared a few grand off of that stock already. Just saying.
Listen, I don't like talking about my money.
No, I don't like talking about my money. So that for this week is Stonks.
Stonks. Before we wrap up that one bit, is there any one stock that you are looking at over the course of the next week because you believe it's going to go higher?
I'm still a fan of Sundial Growers. They are in the weed business, which, as we know, is going to be taking off. And it's SNDL is the code there. It's trading around $1.15, $1.16. I think we get up between $2 and $3, which I'm pissed because I had it, owned it at like 60 cents and got rid of it a while ago. Now I'm back in the game. I think we can make a few bucks off of that.
Is that your way of saying that you bought it at a nickel bag and then you sold it for a dime and now it's going for an eighth?
Yes. Let's put it that way.
Look at me using 1994 drug references.
Can we talk about the Mr. Pillow guy, Mike Liddell?
Only if you play Stonks one more time to close out the bit.
All right, fair enough.
Stonks.
I know we've talked about this. I think even better than the Beef of the Week theme.
Oh, by far. Absolutely. This combines the amazing graphic with Pink Floyd and then Stonks. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
It works on a number of levels.
Love it. What else? So, you were starting to talk about one of my favorite human beings on earth.
Yes.
MyPillow CEO.
Mike Liddell, who, as we know, has been one of these people really pushing the election fraud theory. I think he's being sued, right? He's got a lawsuit, at least one against him. I think Dominion at least is suing him. I don't think Smartatic is suing him just yet. But he went on Newsmax this past week. Again, one of these very far right news channels, and had a conversation, which surprisingly enough did not go well.
So what happened with your Twitter account and the company page?
Well, first, mine was taken down because we have all the election fraud with these Dominion machines. We have 100% proof. And then when they took it down about 3 weeks ago, put it back up.
Thank you very much. Mike, you're talking about machines that we at Newsmax have not been able to verify any of those kinds of allegations. We just want to let people know that there's nothing substantive that we've seen. And let me read you something there. While there were some clear evidence of some cases of vote fraud and election irregularities, the election results in every state were certified, and Newsmax accepts the results as legal and final. The courts have also supported that view. So we wanted to talk to you about canceling culture, if you will. We don't want to relitigate the allegations that you're making, Mike, because we understand where you are. So let me ask you this. Do you think that this should be temporary because it appears to be permanent? Could you make an argument that it is temporary?
What?
Could you make an argument that this could be a temporary banning rather than permanent.
No, I want it to be a permanent because you know what? They did this because I'm revealing all the evidence on Friday of all the election fraud with these machines. So I'm sorry if you
okay.
think it's not
Mike, can I ask our producers, can we get out of here, please? I don't want to have to keep going over this.
Actually,
we at Newsmax have not been able to verify any of those allegations that you're
Mike, hold on a second. Everybody hold on a second. Mike, hold on 1 second. Let's talk a little bit about just what is happening overall in terms of censorship.
My favorite is when the announcer, the one anchor there just walks off at the end. They're like, fuck it, I'm not getting sued.
Well, what I like is that he clearly had the lawyer approved read copy in front of him, that as they knew in advance this was going to go off the rails, and they knew exactly what they were going to say on air to cover their asses legally. And the guy literally just does this, and he just starts reading off of it. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. And let me rephrase it. I think MyPillow is a jackass. This dude was in the White House the weekend before Biden's inauguration with paperwork urging Trump to declare martial law. Like, that is where this guy is operating out of, which
right.
is just so fucking dangerous. But there's another part of me that is, I'm very anti-censorship. I believe that, like, you know, we shouldn't be not allowing people to spew unpopular opinions. What we as a society should do, in my opinion, is to go out of our way to shame and embarrass people who speak untruths and try to pass them off as facts. I think this woman in Congress, Marjorie
Taylor Greene.
Yes. I think somebody should absolutely just say to her, I think you're fucking batshit crazy and fuck off and just like ignore her, not sit there and put a microphone in front of her to say, we want to have your opinion. What do you think about blah, 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 blah. Talk to us about Parkland. Talk to us about the Jewish laser beams in space. Which, by the way, Ron, if you can educate me on the Jewish laser beams, because I saw a lot of memes on Jewish laser beams, and I know it has something to do with her, but I literally was just one of those things where it was just so far out there that I just sat there and I didn't even click the link.
No, Brian, she believes that the California wildfires were started by the Jewish space lasers.
Why are they Jewish, if I may ask?
I mean, isn't everything...
But don't you think that if the Jews controlled lasers, they'd be wiping out the Gaza Strip?
That'd be too easy.
Why would they be aiming it for California?
That'd be too suspect. What I want to know, is it just me, Brian, or does Mike Liddell sound like Jesse the Body Ventura?
Oh, my God. That is good.
He's like, and not only is there election fraud, but even worse than that, Hulk Hogan did not pin me cleanly in Madison Square Garden in 1984. All right? All right, Mean Gene.
Who's gonna police the police? You know, no, there's a very similar inflection.
Jesse the Body Ventura was governor of Minnesota.
Yes.
So I don't know why we should be shocked about anything that has happened in politics since then.
We definitely, listen, we live in an age now where foundations that used to be taken as holy, sacrosanct, I don't think I pronounced that word properly, you know, just things that were seen as you know, pedestal worthy. Now, I think we live in such a nihilistic world where everything's just like, what the fuck, man? Why can't Jesse the Body be a governor? He has opinions. He cares.
I'm going to stay on my compound down in Mexico now. I'm not coming back to the United States.
Oh, that's an interesting fact from Billy down there.
Billy, Jesse Ventura won with 37% of the vote. So, yes, I mean, I think it did help. He was a very strong independent candidate and a very, very weak Republican and Democratic. But even still, like, there was 37% of the population that was like, Jesse the Body? Yeah, what do we got to lose?
Hold on a second, buddy. Are you telling me if Jesse the Body ran for governor in Pennsylvania, you would not have voted for him?
A tough call. That would depend on who
you're
running against.
You put Jesse the Body up against Mario Cuomo, and I am going Jesse the Body nine times out of 10.
I don't know if you've seen our lieutenant governor here in Pennsylvania, but we pretty much have Jesse the Body as lieutenant governor.
Who is it? Coco Beware?
John Fetterman.
Oh, that guy's an asshole.
No, John Fetterman is a good man.
Then who's the asshole that I'm thinking in PA?
Probably Pat Toomey, our senator. He's an asshole.
Okay, I know. I'm mixing them up.
John Fetterman's all about legalized weed. You gotta like him.
Listen, if you like legalized weed, you're gonna love Sundial Technologies. SNDL.
What else do we have this week? Oh,
talk Marilyn Manson or no?
No, not yet. We got to get through Trump first. I really want to get through Trump, and then we can get to Marilyn Manson if you're okay.
Got it. Let's talk Trumpy.
So, crazy story from the Business Insider that apparently former President Donald Trump is so frustrated about being banned from Twitter that he is literally writing down insults and trying to get aides to post those messages from their own accounts.
How do we know this?
I should say it's reported on the Business Insider. Initially, it was reported by the Daily Beast.
I'm not questioning the validity of it. I mean, is this, are some of his aides talking to the press about
this? There is a source talking to the press. Apparently, he's written out a number of insults and observations, several of them about Liz Cheney, who he's got an axe to grind with since she voted for his impeachment. And since he is unable to tweet them himself, he is suggesting to other people to tweet them. I don't think they have, but we should see if that happens.
What is stopping Trump from just start opening a new account?
Eventually he gets found out because he was, you know, they eventually shut down the POTUS account for a while.
Right.
Was tweeting through the Trump campaign Twitter account, which they shut down.
That got shut down.
And then another aide of his turned over his Twitter account, and that got shut down with like a half hour.
So it's the person Donald Trump that got banned. It's not the account. They didn't just shut down this account permanently. Right. They said, you yourself, if we find out that you ever use our platform, we will just wipe it clean.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought they just banned the account. I was like, why doesn't he just start like I've got like three Twitter accounts. If I remember correctly, I probably have more. I just don't even like, didn't I think I have like Devin Nunes's rectum or
something like that.
Something like that. I remember we created something like that.
But even crazier was apparently SAG-AFTRA. And you know, Donald Trump obviously has a SAG card for being in TV and being in movies. So the president of SAG-AFTRA, Gabrielle Carteris. Oh my God, I didn't realize who it was. Gabrielle Carteris from 90210.
No way.
Yes. She was Andrea on Beverly Hills 90210. She is now SAG-AFTRA president. And the Guild has initiated a panel to see whether Donald Trump should be ousted from the group for violating its rules and endangering other members. And he wrote a letter to SAG, which he's even got like a little presidential seal, which is now technically illegal for him to use. He said this, and it's one of those letters that when you first read it, you're like, this has to be fake. But it has been proven to be correct and be factual. And if you will indulge me, Brian, as you know, my Donald Trump impression is probably second only to my Jerry Seinfeld impression.
Sure.
Who are these people?
Keep going.
It's like you're looking at Jerry. So I'm going to do a little dramatic interpretation of the letter that Donald J. Trump wrote to Andrea from Beverly Hills 90210. Ms. Carteris, I write to you today regarding the so-called disciplinary committee hearing aimed at revoking my union membership. Who cares? Well, I'm not familiar with your work. How can he not be familiar with Beverly Hills 90210?
He never even looked who she was.
Yeah. Well, I'm not familiar with your work. I'm very proud of my work on movies such as Home Alone 2, Zoolander, and Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. And television shows, including The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Saturday Night Live, a P-tape, and of course, one of the most successful shows in television history, The Apprentice, to name just a few. I've also greatly helped the cable news television business, said to be a dying platform with not much time left until I got involved in politics. and created thousands of jobs at networks such as MSDNC and fake news CNN, among many others. Which brings me to your blatant attempt at free media attention to distract from your dismal record as a union. Your organization has done little for its members and nothing for me, besides collecting dues and promoting dangerous, un-American policies and ideas, as evident by your massive unemployment rates and lawsuits from celebrated actors, who even recorded a video asking, why isn't the union fighting for me? These, however, are policy failures. Your disciplinary failures are even more egregious. I no longer wish to be associated with your union. As such, this letter is to inform you of my immediate resignation from SAG-AFTRA. You have done nothing for me. Regards, President Donald J. Trump.
It bothers me that he's going to be able to call himself president for the rest of his life.
But even, like, even, I mean, yes, he is a former president and people address him as president. No ex-president still signs letters as president of whatever. Crazy, batshit crazy.
Yeah, but you can also hear that he's missing out on having a platform.
That letter makes it seem like he's completely off the rails.
Hasn't he been off the rails since November?
Even more so than normal, I would say.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. I think this kid's pretty, I think he's kind of lost it.
What else do we got here? Brian, you want to talk Marilyn Manson, and I don't want to keep you from talking about it any further.
Well, one of the bets that we used to do was worst week ever. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was VH1. We love propping people up in this country, and we love pulling them down. This past week, Brian Warner, better known as Marilyn Manson, had a very bad week. Besides the fact that he's pretty much at a point where nobody really cares about him anymore. Former girlfriend, Evan Rachel Wood. Evan's a weird first name, no?
I mean, it's not commonplace for a female, but, you know.
I mean, I once knew a kid named Evan. He was hairy, but I didn't, I wouldn't have thought that was a name that could go out of the way. Anywho, she announced that back in 2018, was it, when she gave testimony in front of Congress about being groomed as a teenager by a man in his 30s who abused her mentally, emotionally, sexually. Finally this week, posted on Instagram, because apparently that is where you announce that you've been abused. Name names, you know. I'm not saying that she's a snitch. A little bit.
Don't name names.
Not saying she's not. I'm just saying she announced that her abuser's name is Brian Warner, better known as Marilyn Manson. And apparently things have not gone well for Mr. Manson since.
Well, he was dropped from his record label, which I was not even aware that he had a record label.
I've never even heard of his record label.
I couldn't even tell you what it is.
Like, well, one of the articles that we put up on the Keep this week, it references the label. I've never heard of it.
The fact that there was also an article that said that time Marilyn Manson and his band covered a deaf groupie with meat and peed on her. Again, these are stories that have not, like, they're not new stories. They're stories that have been around for years and years and years. And people just, I don't know, just didn't let them.
I don't
get it.
I don't know why there was a level of shock that even that people tried to project this week about Marilyn Manson. He has been open about his issues, I guess you could say. I mean, his autobiography, which I didn't read, but I read somebody else's excerpts of the most salacious parts of it. Absolutely sitting there. I mean, this guy has advertised what a piece of garbage he is towards women, or the women that he's in relationships with or wants to use sexually and whatnot. But like, at no point was it, I mean, is there anybody that sat there and heard that that he treated Evan Rachel Wood this way and sat there and was like, Our little Brian Warner? Little Brian Warner? Did I not know?
I mean, Rose McGowan came out years ago and said that, you know, he had been both physically and emotionally abusive towards her. Jameson came out this week also saying that he used to tell her that he fantasized about burning her. I read another rumor that he used to kill the pets of the women he dated as a way, as a method of intimidation. So I think it's, I mean, again, you look at Marilyn Manson, you're like, shocking that he would be fucked up in some way. But this, again, this, a lot of this is not new information that people are getting.
Yeah. This this one, I think we can all sit there and say, like, yeah, we kind of saw this one coming.
Yep. Brian, quick question for you.
Yeah.
What are you watching?
This week on HBO Max, the new movie starring Denzel Washington, Jared Leto, and the kid that played Freddie Mercury.
Rami
Youssef?
Could be. Could be.
Music? Ramzi Youssef is the guy that blew up the World Trade Center the first time. That's Ramzi Youssef.
But anyway, the movie is called The Little Things in theaters and on HBO Max. We actually both watched it. Brian, your thoughts?
I would say it was one of those movies that has a great first half. It really builds up. You think this is going to be something special. And this is a spoiler alert if you haven't watched it. The last third of the movie is, it feels like they just fired the writers, threw cue cards up in the air and said, we have no idea how to end this movie. An amazing performance by Jared Leto.
Yes,
without a doubt. Now, I don't know how much acting there is or whether he's just generally capable of being a creepy person, but a wonderful performance on his part. Really found it entertaining. The guy who plays Freddie Mercury, one of the worst acting jobs I've ever seen. I mean, this was, I don't know what acting coach walked him through his process for this role. And Denzel Washington, this is Denzel putting in like a paycheck effort. Like he is not going for any Oscars. He's not going for any awards. He's literally saying,
"De Niro meet the Fockers level acting from Denzel," I would say.
Ooh, I was going to go, what was the movie? No. This is De Niro. Where was the movie where he played the grandfather with Zac Efron?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I never watched it, but I knew right off the bat.
Not even Fockers level, like
no Fockers. He was entertaining in Fockers. Right. He was entertaining in Fockers. Oh no, he was entertaining in Meet the Parents. Is that the one you're talking about, or you're talking about Meet the Fockers?
Fockers. Maybe Meet the Fockers more apropos.
You know, they made a third one.
Did they? I missed that one.
It was on HBO the other day.
All right.
But what did you think of it?
I agree with you. I think it was, you know, the first half of it was good. And then, you know, the ending just ruins the entire film. And yeah, Jared Leto, I think probably gets an Oscar nomination for it. Again, either he's that creepy in real life or he's just very good at being creepy.
Oh, isn't he trying to like start a cult?
Is he?
I thought that he's one of those guys that like goes off with like 30 different fans into the middle of the California desert, and they just they unplug for like a month and a half, and just get in touch with their feelings and while drinking ayahuasca.
Listen, let him do it. He's not killing.
Live and let live, right? And let live. Who are we to that guy's going to come out as a creep in 10 years?
Very possible. Also,
what else did you watch?
I'm still watching WandaVision on Disney Plus, episode 4. Thank God, finally, the payoff episode made the first 3 episodes worth it. If you are a Marvel fan, it was extremely enjoyable. If you're not, it might not be as enjoyable. But if you haven't been watching WandaVision, now I think is a good time to start because they really got into the meat of the season in episode 4.
Having now watched 4 episodes, can you explain to me as a non-Marvel cult member. Mm-hmm. What is the premise of this show, and what is the meat of the show?
Well, now, you know, now we know. I mean, it is so basically from a timeline standpoint, and if you haven't watched, this would be a good time to jump ahead a few minutes. From a timeline standpoint, this takes place after Avengers Endgame, when, you know, Vision was killed in Avengers Endgame, but shows up in this show.
Who's Vision?
Vision, we'll go. I can't point out every character to you, but he's the guy who had the mind stone in his head.
Who?
He's the Avenger that had the mind stone in his head that Thanos pulled out at the end of Infinity War and killed him.
Spoiler alert! I didn't know that.
So anyway, the Scarlet Witch has Wanda Maximoff has now created this fake reality for herself because she can't handle the loss of Vision, and so she has trapped the town of Westview, New Jersey, within this reality bubble of hers. And so now the outside world has started to take notice. So now you know, the FBI, SWORD, other characters from other MCU movies have started to come in. I know you're already falling asleep, but I enjoyed it. And apparently there is a big cameo coming up sometime in the next 5 episodes of WandaVision, like a Luke Skywalker Mandalorian level cameo is coming up.
Sure.
So I'm sticking with
it. What is the meat of the episode? Like, what is the thing that got you excited this week?
The first 3 episodes were done in sitcom format. So, like, episode 1 was 60s style, episode 1 was 50s style, episode 2 was 60s style sitcom, episode 3 was 70s style, and you didn't really have a good idea as to what was going on. Episode 4 kind of pulled back and showed you what was going on in the real world and kind of tied it into the MCU timeline and really gave you an idea of what is, you know, not didn't tell you everything, but gave you a much better picture as to what's going on so far.
I now feel like the people who don't invest in stocks during the Ron's Angry Money bit, because I find your stock investing fascinating.
Stonks.
Sorry, you were saying?
Love that. But when you start talking about the MCU and the time frame and Thanos and something about jewels or crystals or whatever, I literally, my esteem for you drops. Not all the way. I'm not going to say it crashes, but like, you know me. I love you. I worship you.
Yes.
Like, my level of esteem for you is right about here. And when you start geeking out on Marvel, it dips. It's like a TOSA stock during like power hour. Like, it just dips and you're like, what happened? I thought we were, I had that happen. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Let's do celebrity obituaries so you don't have to think about it anymore.
Don't say it. We need a theme music for celebrity obituaries.
All right. We'll work on that.
We lost some good ones this week.
We did. Legend, Hal Holbrook. Passing away at the age of 95. Again, another guy that I did not realize was still alive.
Well, he was only worth 5 points.
True.
Did anybody have him in the death pool?
I believe listener Jocelyn had him getting 5 points. We do need to post an updated leaderboard, but I believe I am still in the lead. Also, real quick, because I don't want to let Billy's jab at you go unnoticed, Brian turns out MCU talk almost as quick as he tunes out during this week in racism. Very true.
That's bullshit, because this week I was very involved in this week in racism. Point.
I'm not going to lie. You were there. You were engaged.
One thing that I will absolutely pat myself on the back over is that I take a hit well. When I am at fault, I want to know about it. I will take it in. I will absorb it, and I will try to change my behavior. I'm not one of those people that, you know, puts up walls like Wanda and just like, no, Vision.
Well, anyway, back to Hal Holbrook. Again, legend of stage, screen. He had won a Tony for Best Actor in a Play in 1966 for his portrayal of Mark Twain. He was in All the President's Men, North and South, The Fog, Creepshow,
Wall Street,
The Firm, Men of Honor, Into the Wild. Earned him both a Academy Award and Screen Actors Guild Award nomination.
I didn't think he was not good in that movie. He was barely in it. He was barely, which is, by the way, that is a great movie, Into the Wild.
Yes,
it is, without a doubt. Better book. That's neither here nor there. But Hal Holbrook did not deserve an Oscar for that movie.
All right. And also shocking this week, legendary child actor Dustin Diamond. Passing away at the age of 44 from lung cancer. The news had come out a few months back that he had been diagnosed with the cancer. What was interesting was, you know, there was a bunch of articles that came out and that said, you know, Dustin Diamond has a few weeks to live. And then, like, literally within a half hour, TMZ was reporting he had passed away from his cancer.
I thought it was announced literally last month. Like, I thought it was announced like 3 weeks ago.
I thought it was a couple months ago. But
if it was a couple months ago, I think people would have had him in the death pool.
You know, you raise a very valid point. I guess it was maybe last month.
So it must have been bad. From what I have read, he was not a particularly popular person as an adult. Rose to fame with his role on 90210. He was next in line to be president of SAG AFTRA.
Yeah.
What is it? SAG.
SAG AFTRA.
AFTRA. I was close. He was next in line after the girl with the glasses. However, unfortunately, he got the big C, passed away before. You hate to see it, but does not seem that the celebrity world is mourning Screech's death.
He was abrasive at times. I remember watching him on, I want to say, Celebrity Fit Club on VH1. Yep. And a lot of people hated him.
Don't you think on those types of shows that they kind of assign you a personality that you have to like carry out?
Listen, he was always very comfortable playing the role of a villain, whether it was in his real life or on these reality shows. Apparently made amends with a number of his Saved by the Bell co-stars. Prior to his passing, he is apparently his final wishes were to be cremated with his ashes divided between his dad and his girlfriend.
Do you know what kind of cancer he had?
I believe it was lung cancer.
Ooh, that's not a good one.
No. And again,
stage
I think
four, it's, yeah, yeah, stage
small cell lung carcinoma.
Ah, it's a shame. No, it's just not a good way to go.
No.
Poor kid. Poor kid. Anybody else pass away that is of note?
I don't think we tracked anybody else this week. I mean, I'm sure there may have been, but we were sleeping a little bit this week.
Well, we had other more important things to focus on.
Correct.
Such as our inner core, our happiness. We needed to stay centered. We needed to stay positive, focused. Ron, how's work going? Or should we save that for after dark?
I mean, work is fine. We can talk about it on After Dark. You know,
Let's save that for After Dark.
Okay.
But I do have
we failed to mention earlier is available to our Patreon subscribers. If you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, you know that's where you find all things Ron and Brian. You will also find a link in the upper right-hand corner to become a patron. And if you join at the bronze level or higher, you get access to our live After Dark episode, which will take place at 9:30. So just a little while from now. We also have some great swag. We've got our web store on there. What else can you say, Brian?
What I can say is this, our Patreon subscribers are very, special to us. Not only are they, able to get a free 30, 45, 60 minutes of, exclusive content, audio and video, but once a month on the final Thursday of every month, we do what we like to call the After Dark Pajama Party, where we bring on our bronze and higher level Patreon subscribers. They come on the show with us during the After Dark Pajama Party. Last month, we were all wearing pajamas. Billy was in a robe. Janelle was annoyed by me. I was wearing pajamas. And Ron, if I remember correctly, you were rocking a sweatshirt that you got from the Ron and Brian exclusive merchandise store.
That is correct.
It's not a lot of money every month, but it helps to make this show what this show is. You like the fancy graphics, you like the nice color, you like the ability for Ron to throw me off the screen and put me back on.
There's a value in that.
Absolutely. We have not made a penny off of this show. Everything that we've collected has gone back into the show. You want to talk about the app?
So we have the app available on the Google Store right now. We are still working out some kinks on the Apple side.
Fuck Apple!
As Brian has said earlier. But yes, if you go onto Google Play, you will find the app for the Ron and Brian podcast. If you go on our Twitter, we do have a link there for it. But we will, of course, we'll be pushing the app harder in the coming days. So you can listen to the episodes. You can watch the YouTube videos. You can shop. We have some web store exclusive stuff on the app. Another way to get closer to Ron and Brian. And I know that's really what a lot of you want to do.
Ron, can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
When was the last time you felt shame?
Right now.
Ron, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What did you eat for dinner tonight?
Tonight was kielbasa and cabbage.
How do you make that?
It's what you chop up some cabbage, you slice up some kielbasa. It's got some onions, some garlic, a lot of butter, some paprika, some red pepper flake. So, yeah, I cook a big pot of it, and then you can have it throughout the week.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's very good.
It sounds like the kind of thing that would make you go to the bathroom after a big heaping serving of it.
I can send you the recipe if you think it might help.
Right now, I'm pretty close to just about anything, if it will help.
Fair enough. Anything else before we get out of here and get ready for After Dark?
Nah, I think I'm good.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you all for joining us this week.
Thank you very much, everyone.
We will catch you in a few minutes. Otherwise, we will see the rest of you next week.